everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the program, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, July the 17th, 2020. We are live during the week, Monday through Friday, in the weekday, on the same place, 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, we thank them, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, the Tucson local media group, and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus today is with the three Republican candidates in the Congressional District Number 2. The winner of the three-way primary will face off against incumbent Democrat Ann Kirkpatrick. The three GOP candidates are Brandon Martin, Joseph Morgan, and Eric Rudin. I'm going to ask the candidates to try to keep their remarks to about maybe a minute, minute and a half, so we can cover as much ground as possible. And let's begin with Brandon Martin. We'll start alphabetically. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are running, Brandon.
Well, good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me. And I'm a former Army intelligence specialist. I worked on Fort Huachuca in Cochise County for over 10 years in instructing interrogation. And I just want to continue my service to the American people and to CD2. And take this next step into Congress. Had a very successful showing in 2018 when I first ran. And, you know, I'm a father of a beautiful 8-year-old daughter. And as a former Boy Scout, I want to leave things better for her than what I found them in. So I'm just continuing my service and would be honored for every single vote that I get out there.
Joseph Morgan, tell our listeners about who you are.
I was born and raised here in Tucson, Arizona, and two things have always been a part of my life, politics and community service. So I've done a lot of work in nursing home ministry, homeless shelter ministry, and of late, prison ministry until COVID-19 took that away. And service has always been a part of this. And then, of course, my politics. I've helped a lot of political campaigns. Recently, I was writing political commentary for the Arizona Daily Star. I had my own talk show. I just decided to jump in because we need public servants again, people who really recognize they're there to serve people and not to be overlords. And unfortunately, we've always had, in my view, pretty bad candidates. So I wanted to be a different choice and really be a voice for this community to see it into the future as well, since I live here and I'm a part of it.
And Eric Rudin, who are you?
Well, I've lived in Tucson my entire life as well. Hey, I'm just a guy that started at the bottom and worked my way to the top. So started as a pest control technician, and I know what it's like to have a lot of adversity. But at the same time, I've been able to move up and become vice president of a very large exterminating firm. 13 years ago, I bought my own business, Essential Pest Control, and have been very successful there. I also own a second business called The Hitting Factory, which is a 15,000 square foot indoor hitting facility for baseball and softball. Done coaching for about 10 years, giving back to my community. I've done the advocacy thing 10 years ago with the Tea Party, did some stuff trying to improve the chamber, but took a small break for my daughter so I could focus on her. And now she's gone to college and she's a biochem major, 4.0 student, really smart. Now I can start that second career getting into politics.
Joseph Morgan, what's at the top of the priorities for you?
Economic development, and not just because of what's happened and the devastation created by COVID-19, but always I had a strategic plan laid out. It's on my website, josephmorganforcongress.com, to focus on economic development of Congressional District 2, and I have a plan for doing that. And then also a real laid out bullet pointed plan for medical care, because one of the things I think is missing, it was certainly missing in the last run, it's easy to criticize from the far left. They talk about Medicare for all and all these other things, but we don't actually put out an actionable plan of our own. And with conservative, limited government rolling back competition, what does that look like? And I've created that and I've done that. And that's been a two major legs of what I've been talking to my people in my community about. So,
Eric Rudin, what do you put at the top of your list?
There's a lot of priorities, but I think there's a short-term economic component with a post-COVID recovery, helping a lot of these small business folks that have basically been put out of business. And then I think there's a long-term economic component for Southern Arizona. If you look at Southern Arizona compared to Phoenix, there's obviously an economic divide. The business market is very different, and I think we need to leverage our resources and our abilities in the community so that we have better opportunities that help lift us all up, not only the business class, but some of the people on a lower socioeconomic scale, especially within the Latino community. But I think we could do that with trade. I think it's a situation we can leverage our assets with the military bases, but there's a lot of ways that we can improve business for all of us so that we can do better in our community.
How about it, Brandon Martin?
Three things. First, I think we have to work on the economy and coming out of this COVID issue. And I've put forward a plan on my website, BrandonMartinForCongress.com. It's to liberate the economy and American Paychecks Act. It's outlined specific steps to improve the economy, cut regulations and certain permitting to get the economy going again, and holding China accountable. You know, there's very much talk about the political malfeasance by the Chinese Communist Party right now, so we have to address these issues. And then second, going into securing the border. We still have a border here on the international border with Mexico that's not secure. We have to finish that up, continue securing that with the president. And then third, you know, all our rights and liberties are attacked, but it seems like to me and what I'm hearing from constituents right now, people are very concerned about the Second Amendment. They want to know that they have the right to keep and bear arms so they can protect themselves, their family, and their property.
Eric Rudin, let's begin with you on this round of questioning about COVID. And we'll call it C-19, COVID virus 19, C-19. If and when we have, and let's hope there is some kind of vaccine coming online, do you think it would be mandatory? Would you be in favor of a mandatory vaccine? Because the way I kind of see it is that even if it's not mandated, we're going to have kind of a de facto situation that you're going to need to show your papers, if you will, that you've been vaccinated before you can travel, go to some businesses. Some of your thoughts on that?
That might be the cart before the horse.
Okay.
The reality of it is that's being very optimistic that we're going to have a vaccine by this winter that's coming up. If we look at SARS, H1N1, some of these other viruses, we still haven't developed vaccines. Coronavirus has actually been around for years. This is just a different strain, and we have not had a successful vaccine as well. Same thing with flu, that, you know, we have a vaccine every year, and it seems to be pretty ineffective. So I think when you start talking about vaccines and make it mandatory, you first have to have a vaccine. The second part of that is I'm not in favor of enforcing that down. I mean, people have the right to either choose to engage or not engage with a vaccine. Some people, if they're vulnerable and older and they choose to have a vaccine, I think that might be very reasonable. But if you're a young child and you're fairly resistant, I think it'd be pretty ludicrous to put a stamp to say that you have to have that vaccine for that child.
Brandon Martin, though you can see where I'm going with this, where this could wind up, the government could say, yeah, everybody's got to take it.
I am absolutely against mandatory vaccines. I don't believe that the government has any authority to tell us what we must inject into ourselves. And then I know we already have situations where that's done. You know, certain public schools and things like that require vaccines of students. But I don't believe that this is an issue where the government should be telling us what we have to put into our body. And when it comes to the vaccines, you know, the flu, they guess every year based on models of whether it's going to be type A, type B, whatever, and they try to predict that. And at best, you may hope to get somewhere between 20 to 40% effectiveness. But I'm totally against it. And, you know, we see these draconian measures coming down in multiple aspects of our life. So I'm against the mandatory vaccines.
Joseph Morgan, your take on this?
Yes, let me just say unequivocally, I oppose any kind of government mandates, not just on vaccines. I'm completely and unalterably opposed to mandating the masks. We have a right constitutionally, it's laid out in the 9th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, to our bodily autonomy. But specifically, vaccines with regards to your medical health, you as the person in consultation with your physician, you should be able to make all those decisions on your own. It is your body, it is your choice. Government has no say whatsoever in that. But then you go to the science, and there is literally no science to support that a vaccine would ever stop this. I mean, it was ludicrous that they called this a novel coronavirus from the beginning, since it is just a different strain of the coronavirus that have always been around. In fact, it is those strains in which they're developing the so-called vaccine around. So this is appalling. It is a power grab, and it must be stopped by any elected official who claims to represent the people.
Let's see if we can do one more round before we take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Let's start again now with Brandon Martin about guns. Should there be any new gun restrictions in this country, Brandon Martin?
No, there should not be any new gun restrictions in this country, and I will take it a step further. We need to work on eliminating any unconstitutional laws or restrictions that are already out there in place. You know, I get questions all the time of, what do you think about this certain situation? And I'm saying, so you're telling me someone is responsible enough to get a job, save their money, go to a gun store, purchase a gun, and then go out, and I'm not worried about that person. It's the people who are criminals, who are not going to obey the law in the first place, that go out and take these firearms and do horrendous things with them. And by definition, that's why they're criminals. So I do not want to punish law-abiding citizens and take away their right to protection.
How about you, Joseph Morgan?
Completely opposed to any kind of further gun restrictions, and I believe there are many things that need to be looked at and rolled back, frankly, upon the law-abiding citizenry of this country. You consider the fact that the vast majority of mass shootings, quote unquote, that we've had have been committed by people who obtained their guns illegally. There's not going to be a new rule that stops somebody from breaking the existing rules. So it is simply wrong to act like we have an authority, because the Second Amendment is there. It's the supreme law of the land, and it's pretty clear, shall not be infringed. But secondly, to think that we can go further when the laws that are in place are already being followed by everybody, and it's criminals who are breaking these, it's just ludicrous on its face.
Eric Rudin, anything about the guns that should be changed, firearm restrictions?
No, I would not be in favor. But the one thing that I'd like everybody to really realize about the Second Amendment is the importance of addressing this at all levels. You know, we have AR-15 issues at the federal level, but then we have red flag laws that are at the state level. We have concealed carry at the local level. And then we have at the school board level, just teaching the Constitution and the Second Amendment, the education of why that's there. It wasn't put in the Constitution for hunting. It was basically an oppressive government, and we are the militia. We are the people that can defend ourselves from an oppressive government. So I hope that we could get together as a community and actually work on this issue at all levels, all the way even down to the school board.
All right, we'll continue with our discussion with the three Republican candidates. They are hoping to move on to win the primary in Congressional District Number 2 and then face the incumbent Ann Kirkpatrick. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. We'll be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit different today. Normally, our Friday Focus interview is one individual where we take a deep dive into a particular topic. But today, we have three candidates for Congress, the Republican CD2. And I thought, well, we've got three microphone positions here in the studio, and we've got our protective covering up. So let's invite all three of them and spend most of the hour talking with them. And they are Brandon Martin, Joseph Morgan, and Eric Rudin. We'll begin with Joseph Morgan. The NAFTA 2.0, which is the latest version of NAFTA, has it done more to help or hurt the United States economy?
Definitely, it was designed to help, and it will help. I think a lot of its impact we haven't been able to actually gauge it yet because of COVID-19. But yes, it's going to help us. Are there some issues with it? Absolutely. But one of the great things it did was close up the loophole that China in particular was using to bring already basically created things into Mexico and Canada, and then slapping on Canada and Mexico on those items and getting around tariffs. And so that in particular is going to help us immensely. And then, of course, the agricultural trade deals with Mexico and our farmers as well. So there's some things, yeah, any trade deal maybe could have been better. But at the end of the day, this was absolutely a great win for the United States. And I do think we have yet to see its full effect because of this COVID-19 issue.
What do you think, Eric Rudin?
Yeah, I believe the USMCA deal was basically a correction of NAFTA. Trying to make it a little bit more equitable for the United States as we ended up going through. I think this is actually a signature achievement of Donald Trump to actually get this across the finish line. I believe there's going to be real benefits, but unfortunately with COVID, again, it's shut down the benefits of coming through. I mean, you got to realize that, we do $700 billion in trade annually with Mexico, 300 U.S. jobs, U.S. goods. Mexico's beef supply, 80% of it comes from the United States, coming imported. So, you know, nurturing that relationship, moving it further along, I think is really important to our region, and hopefully we can capitalize on that.
What do you think, Mr. Martin?
I think strengthening our ties here with our neighbors will only help us from an economic and a security standpoint. My looking at it is we haven't had enough time yet to see the real effects, and because of the COVID-19 issue, we're going to have to wait and see on those things a little bit more. But this is going to force Congress to do their job more, creating more bureaucracy and independent councils that will have the ability and to review these prices and these deals and set up and adjust them over time is taking away from Congress's role in regulating interstate commerce. So as a representative for CD2, I want to make sure that Congress is doing their job in overseeing these trade deals. And so that's where I think we need to be looking as we go forward.
Eric Rudin, we'll begin with you on this round around the table. Has anything been said about you that you would like at this point to kind of clarify or set the record straight with?
I don't think so. I think I'm a pretty straightforward guy, and what you see is what you get. The biggest thing that I'd like the voters to realize is I'm a really hardworking guy. I've always worked 14, 16 hours a day. I think that's where I've been successful, being able to transition from just an employee at a small company to being an employer at larger companies, is because of that work ethic. And in bringing to the forefront, I think, as important as representative, is that I'm going to have that same vigor and work ethic to try to make our community better. And being a policy wonk and understanding the issues, I think, are really important.
What do you think, Brandon Martin? Is there something that you'd like to clarify that's been said about you that's just simply wrong?
Well, I am a liberty candidate, and I believe that my message of the Constitution and equality under the law, it translates to everybody. I mean, when we're seeing everything, whether it's your first, second, third, fourth, whatever your amendment rights, is everyone should have equality under the law. And I think that my service to the country and this next step and chapter in my life, I'm ready to go build coalitions and find people in the Republican Party that I can work with that have already established a blueprint to promote conservative principles that I can go in, fit into the fold, and get working for CD2 immediately.
What do you think, Joseph Morgan? Has there anything been said that you'd like to clarify about yourself?
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, we've run a very clean campaign, which I'm really happy about. I'm going to support whoever comes out of this. But, you know, some things have been said about me that on Facebook and other places, like I'm not a true constitutionalist when it comes to the Second Amendment, for example, because I wrote an article in defense of the right of the city of Tucson and their authority as an elected body to melt down and destroy guns that they had taken. So some people have tried to say, oh, well, you're not a pro Second Amendment. Yeah, no, I just think that what the ruling was wrong on that. It wasn't nobody's Second Amendment rights were being violated at all. Then there's other people who, because I wrote about the need to change the tax structure in Pima County for a sales tax to help with our road things. They've tried to say that I'm for taxes. It's insane. The Constitution has tax power in it, and it was written by conservatives. So those are things that get said about anybody. No, I'm a true constitutionalist. I believe it cuts both ways, but I'm also a public policy guy, and you need real good public policy, and that requires you not to necessarily take the side of what your group think is saying.
Let's go back to, we talked a little bit about NAFTA, but let's talk about North Korea. That's going to be a big issue. It always is a big issue. You never know what they're up to. We'll begin with Brandon Martin. Would you support, Brandon, a preemptive strike on North Korea as part of an attempt to deter its nuclear capabilities?
When it comes to a strike on any country, it needs to go through the proper channels, and Congress needs to be voting on whether or not we're going to go to war. Talking about preemptive strikes and entering into an illegal war, I'm not a fan of that. We see that we've been in Afghanistan for so long now that I don't even think the American public or the people that are necessarily known that are there on the ground know the mission anymore. So I'm not in agreement with entering into these wars unnecessarily, and I think that we need to protect our most precious resource, and that's the American soldiers and service members.
Joseph Morgan, what about North Korea?
Yeah, so in theory, absolutely, I'm for preemptive strikes, but constitutionally, the President of the United States cannot declare or commit an act of war without Congress. So, yeah, absolutely. We need Congress to engage on these kind of things. And so, no, I would not support a president hitting a launch button on another country without Congress approving it. But if we had credible intelligence that they were about ready to launch a nuclear bomb at us and it was truly credible, I would have no problem as a member of Congress voting to stop such a thing. So, yeah.
And what do you think about that, Eric Gruden?
Yeah, I think Trump is on the right track and trying to negotiate and engage with Kim Jong-un. I think it's important that there's a dialogue, because if you look at the country, they have massive poverty. They have a lack of infrastructure. Being aggressive with that country also puts our ally in South Korea in danger. So I think it's one of the things that we have to get regional pressure on them to try to change our ways. And with his recent health issues, you could see a regime change taking place pretty quick here as well. So I think it's one of the things we have to have a little bit of caution. We got to deal with that. But just, have this broad spectrum, get them before it get us. I don't think that's really good foreign policy.
All right, Joseph Morgan, we'll begin with you on this one. We'll talk about health care, and I think it's going to be a huge issue, whoever is elected president for the next 4 years. Should the country, Joseph Morgan, move closer to a single-payer government-managed health care system?
Absolutely not. Completely the wrong approach. Again, not just because of the constitutional issues, but the economics issues of that. Anything that is entirely too big, just from a bureaucratic standpoint, cannot work. I mean, I worked for AXA Advisors, and they have it broken up into sectors, and each manager runs their sector. You can't just have this top-down control and in something as large as, one-sixth of the American economy and think that's going to work and be good healthcare. Absolutely not. And so that's why one of my major pieces is we need to get to the place where we have competition with Medicare, because Medicare, when it was created, it's basically set all the price points for what is the cost of medical care in this country, because the largest users and consumers of medical care, the elderly, are all in and controlled in, by a government plan. And there's no competition with that. It's not even allowed by law. That needs to change. We must get competition in there. We must actually get innovation in there through the free market and not have so much government control.
Healthcare, Eric Rudin.
Yeah, I think they already tried to go through this through the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare that went through. And it was highly punitive to insurance providers to have basically government-controlled health care. Some of the things that they ended up seeing is having a lack of health care providers. Rural communities didn't actually have plans. They didn't have access as well. So I truly believe that having private sector options are really important for us. I think when we talk about reform, we talk about repeal and replace. I think some of the things that we should look from a replacement standpoint is to make sure that we have some price transparencies instead of giving a bill 2 months after you go. That provides consumer choice. I think also customization of health plans at the employer level or at the individual level is important. Just a quick tidbit, as a business owner, I negotiate healthcare plans all the time. We used to have a $250,000 cap on our insurance premium because we had a young workforce between 21 and 45. When ACA came in, basically they made it unlimited benefits, which doubled our premiums within 2 years. When we had a workforce that was concerned about broken legs and flu, they weren't concerned about long-term health. So I think customization would also help.
Brendan Martin, should we go to the single-payer system?
No, we should not. In fact, we should take the opposite approach and embrace the free market system to come in and fix some of these issues that we're seeing. And when you take big government and you put it into the lives of the American people, let the American people decide. You look at it, how's the government doing with handing out these stimulus checks to, you know, thousands and thousands of people who have died? Look at the post office. Look at the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare. President Obama said you keep your physician if you want them. You see, that's not true. People are losing that. And when you talk about the VA, you look at some of the issues we've had with the VA when government already runs health care. I don't think anybody in the American public wants to wait on a list. And unfortunately and regrettably, we had veterans die waiting on that list. And I don't want to see that extrapolated out to the American public.
All right. Rather than delve into another topic right here, why don't we take the break? And then when we come back, we will have our third and final segment with the candidates, Brendan Martin, Joseph Morgan, and Eric Rudin. It's the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We will be right back and continue with our discussion with the CD2 Republican candidates. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're at about the midway point of our discussion, a little bit past our midway point. This is our final segment with our three Republican candidates who are hoping they will emerge as the top vote getter, and then we'll face off against the incumbent Democrat and Kirkpatrick. Eric Rudin is here, Joseph Morgan, Brandon Martin, and we'll begin with Eric Rudin in this round of questioning. The tear down monument movement, has it gone too far? Is there ever a case where you would agree with bringing some of these monuments down, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, there's a group of people that want to tear down American history. And when you're looking at these monuments, you know, they rarely actually talk about the contribution of what those people had to their communities and where that monument was there from the first place. It also fails to recognize the 600,000 to 700,000 lives that were lost during the Civil War, and that we fought for equality in this country and all the movements that we have. And we've also disgraced some of the words of Martin Luther King, who basically said that we want civil disobedience through peaceful measures because it loses credibility to your argument. If there was a need to take down a monument, I think if you look in Tucson here, we got the monument of Pancho Villa, right, which is very controversial. Right. You know, that's
Think about tearing that down?
I would never tear it down in civil disobedience.
Or at least have to start the discussion of maybe replacing it with something.
But if you had the discussion where you went to your city council and you went to your leaders and we could get it on maybe some type of ballot referendum or something along those lines, that's how you go about changing these things. And then we can take the monuments that are in place and we can move them to other areas for educational purposes. But just blatantly tearing them down is basically a horrendous violation of our American history and ignorance upon the population.
Yeah, you bring up the Pancho Villa statue. Brendan Martin, Eric brings that up, and actually, it's a lot of people have been talking about it lately. What about the Pancho Villa statue? But generally, what's some of your thoughts on the monument tear down monument movement?
Well, I think we should be speaking out very loudly against rioting and criminal activity that's been going on around the country. That should not be permitted in any situation. So we see some of these movements that are going on, and some of them are very legitimate. But unfortunately, some people out there with ulterior motives are hijacking these issues and these groups and using them for political purposes. And we need to put a stop on these crimes that are happening. And we need to look at, this is America. We have a country like no other that's ever been formed. And have we been perfect along every step of the way? No, we haven't. But we have done more for prosperity for every single group of people in this country. We are a melting pot. We put our best foot forward. We highlight our strengths. And we have seen more growth than any other country in history. And I think that if we keep promoting our history and teaching people in this country, we'll continue to improve and be the best country and lead the world into the future.
What do you think, Joseph Morgan, about monuments?
Well, three things. I think that the historical illiteracy of the people engaged in this is appalling. There has been statues that are being indiscriminately torn down all over the place in the name of social justice or whatever, of abolitionists, ardent abolitionists, people who literally fought for the freeing of slaves. They do great violence to the history of this nation by just randomly and indiscriminately going around, and then also doesn't take into account the complexities of different parts, geographic areas that grew up into what is a unified whole nation. So that's a problem. But secondly, it is completely appalling that it's been allowed to happen, this anarchy, this total lawlessness. There is a way, as Eric referenced, there's a way, if you want to, wherever you're at, you can go about it legally, and we can have that discussion in each community, and that's the way you should be doing it. But to just stand by and allow public property, and in some cases private property, to be destroyed, and then to say, well, these people have legitimate grievances, is not right, it's not just, and it does a great disservice to the conversation that is trying to be had about what is going on race relations, where are we at, where have we come, because the history of this nation is a history that, despite all of our differences, we are the freest, and we have elevated the most ethnically diverse population on the planet Earth.
Let's turn now to Black Lives Matter and the movement across the country to defund police. Some communities, like the Minneapolis area, have actually talked about doing away with the police department. Brendan Martin, what do you think about that?
I support our law enforcement officials out there across the country. My grandfather was a state trooper in Indiana for over 30 years. And by far, the majority of these folks care about their communities. They work hard. They put their lives in danger many times. And as far as the Black Lives Movement matters is concerned, I believe all lives matters. And if we want to talk about Black Lives Matters, we have to address the issue that abortion kills a higher percentage of black babies than any other ethnicity. And if you really want to talk about Black Lives Mattering, we need to stop the killing of black babies with abortion. And then let's move on to having a serious conversation about where we move on from there.
Joseph Morgan, on the table, the topic of Black Lives Matter / defund police.
I'm completely opposed to defunding the police department. Law enforcement serves us all in public safety. If we need to have a discussion about needed reforms within what is going on, specifically authoritarianism and abuse of power, let's have that discussion. However, with regards to Black Lives Matter, the problem with pegging it down is that it's not really a unified whole. Everybody's got these claims, these hashtags, they have all these factions, these groups, which kind of allows them to say, hey, that's not what I stand for, that's not what I stand for. But if you go to their website and read their creed, which is the official Black Lives Matter website, they talk about nonviolence, but these same people are okay with the violence in the streets, and they think that they have a right to do that kind of stuff. And again, you don't have a right to anarchy, you don't have a right to looting, and you certainly don't have a right to murder. And Brandon Martin brought up a great point about the abortion of black lives, but also within the inner city communities. What is happening with this anarcho-social justice stuff that's going on is they're killing, to say nothing of the mass murders of young black people in Chicago and some of these other places, but in Atlanta, that young black girl that was killed by these Black Lives Matter thugs who've taken over a street corner around that Wendy's, she was just shot. Her mom was trying to take her home. She ran around went around a barrier, and she was shot dead. Does her life matter? Absolutely it matters. This is why we have law enforcement. They are enabled so that we don't have vigilantism for whatever cause we think is just.
Eric Rudin, the topic of the day. Yeah. Defund police, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I think there's actually two different movements with BLM. I think there's the sincere movement, you know, the college kids are going out and protesting and just want to recognize their social inequities within our communities. The second part, though, is a very malicious group that actually are the socialists that want to tear down our country. If you look at the founder of the Black Lives Matter, she has said things that are so controversial about tearing our country apart and socialism that it's very disturbing. So I think we have to take that in context. Going to the police segment, though, I think there's a relevant fact that gets ignored in the argument every single time. The officer that put his knee on George Floyd, he had 17 citations against him. The union protected him and kept him in law enforcement. The police chief is a political appointment and condoned the behavior and the training of the department. The second part, the city council and the mayor are also of a political ideology as well. So there is a real social dynamic between a socioeconomic standpoint between the haves and have-nots. There are third generation welfare. There is a lot of poverty in these areas. But we blame the police when they're only an extension of the public policy. We shouldn't be blaming police officers for doing their job. We should be blaming the elected officials that perpetuate the situation indefinitely, and we need to hold them accountable for their bad policies.
All right, I've got a little over 3 minutes, so why don't we kind of begin to wrap it up here? We'll begin with Joseph Morgan about really what separates your run for Congress from your two opponents. And also, if you would like to put in any information about where people can find out more about you. Joseph Morgan.
Thank you, Bill, for having this discussion on your show. I would say the greatest thing that I think separates me is I have, and I took the time to do this when I was running, and it's on my website, and I invite you to go there, josephmorganforcongress.com. That's Joseph Morgan, the number four, congress.com. I have put out a well-laid-out plan to fix our medical care system, which is broken, our prescription drug system, which is broken, and then my economic development plan for Congressional District 2. I know what it means to be a servant, a community servant. That's what I've dedicated my life to. We need to have those kind of people, but that's not just enough to have a servant's heart. You've got to understand public policy, and that's why I invite you to look at those two issues, which are major issues that affect us all. It doesn't matter what your particular political ideology is. You are affected by your economics. You are affected by the medical care issues. We all face those. I'm a cancer survivor. I know what it is to have massive bills that you're like, how am I going to pay for this stuff? And so this is why it's very important to go and say, hey, is this somebody that can understand a complex political policy and come forward with real solutions? Yes, I am that person, Joseph Morgan.
All right, Brandon Martin, and then we'll get to Eric Rudin finally. So go ahead, Brandon.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show today. And to reiterate, I want to do three things. I want to help the economy get roaring again by cutting regulations and unnecessary permitting. We need to secure our border and continue supporting President Trump in securing that border and making our community safe. And we need to protect our rights and liberties and strengthen and support the Second Amendment and the discussion that's going on around our nation right now. But for those that want to follow me, I'm at BrandonMartinForCongress.com. And the biggest way that I separate myself in this race is that I have experience. I was on Fort Huachuca. I managed a training development budget for 474 Army civilians. I've been doing this all my life. Right now, when you look around the world and you look at the threats that we face, we see China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, all these different threats that we're being faced with. America and CD2 needs a representative that knows how to go out there and represent them with strong representation and can get into that fold and get into that fight and preserve that national defense that we want and provide great constituent services.
And did you give your website?
BrandonMartinForCongress.com.
All right, now Eric Rudin.
I think the main difference is that I'm a business owner. I've had two successful businesses, and I think when it comes to economics and a business climate, that's really important. I think we have to have more legislators that understand business. I think Trump has had a lot of success within his policy because of that business experience. I think the two other points that I think are noteworthy is I really understand the community. I've grown up in Tucson my entire life. I've done the activism work. I understand the local issues and how those are applied at the federal level. And I think having a good understanding of our community and our culture is really important. And I think the third thing is people don't know about me is I'm a really hardworking guy. And I think that matters because I think we don't live in a day and age where we recognize people that work hard, that do their research, they understand a policy, they try to craft good legislation. And when I work, sincerely say I work 14, 16 hours a day, I've done that my entire life and I feel like I'm in my prime work age to continue to do that. So I would hope that I have the opportunity to earn the votes of your listeners. You can learn more at rudinforcongress.com. I really sincerely love my community and I just want to help as much as I can.
All right. I want to thank all of you. Campaigning in these times it's been very challenging. I think you'd probably all agree to that, right? Most of you doing social media, is that how you're getting the message out?
Social media, absolutely. But we're reaching people where they're at and wherever they're willing to meet us.
What about it?
Oh, yeah, social media. But we always had a plan. We've reached over 34,000 people at their doors. So, But yeah, social media is huge.
Yeah. We're strongly engaging in our plan. We think we have a path to victory, and we'll continue to work hard on it.
All right. Eric Rudin, Joseph Morgan, and Brandon Martin, thank you very much. Good luck to all of you. And that will do it for our Friday Focus segment. We've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's coming up next. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Alrighty then, time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You can find all of your travel planning information at southwestnewmexico.org. Now, the award-winning Tucson publicist and the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. And I just have to say, you know, thank you for hosting these candidates. Roundtables, you know, it really is the only way that we're able to hear all these folks debate. So I got to tell you, your platform is invaluable. So thanks to you and the Buckmaster crew for getting us all informed as we prepare to make our way to the polls.
Yeah, and we were able to cover a lot of ground. And I was thinking about this last night. I've got all these questions and not all that much time, but still and the candidates, I didn't have a stopwatch on them. I just said, please keep it to 60 seconds to 90 seconds. And I would say within a few seconds, either way, just about every answer was in the ballpark. So we were able to really move it along.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. What do we have going on? Any reopenings?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the next eatery in the Charo family of restaurants to reopen is Charo Vita, of course, in the Casas Adobes Plaza on Oracle and Ina. Now, for now, service is going to be limited to their patio, but that's hardly a consolation with their spectacular mountain views. And, Bill, the newly opened patio also comes with a brand-new menu that they're calling Plant Plus, which actually caters to vegans as well as others that want to add sustainable meat to otherwise plant-driven dishes. Now, there's plenty of other options, including ones that trend in the charro sphere, like tacos and tamales and such, plus some refreshing cocktails. So all of that awaits you this weekend on the patio at Charro Vida.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a margarita.
I tell you what, you're talking to me. You know me all too well, Bill. You know, there's a colorful way to beat the heat this weekend at the Tankaverde Ranch with their new margarita flights. Now, check this out. For $16, you can choose three from their six different versions for a custom-built flight. And these mini margs represent seemingly every color under the sun, from strawberry mint to mango jalapeno. And after sipping your way through the rainbow, I think you should stay for dinner, because executive chef Janet Balderas and her crew have just launched a new seasonal menu with some really fun ranch-inspired dishes like El Pastor fajitas with grilled chicken, grilled pineapple, and fresh chili. So I say saddle up and head east to the Tankaverde Ranch this weekend.
I love the Tankaverde Ranch, especially this time of year, Matt, you know, with the big puffy white clouds in the afternoon building up over the Rincons. Pretty place.
Yeah, I mean, you get the Sonoran Desert and surround sound, as it were, and it's just kind of a quick drive out east, but you really feel like you're in the Old West, and they really have drawn some of the great culinary and libation traditions that really are at center stage.
Hey, what's going on with Pastino?
Yeah, for those wanting to stay home and hide out a little bit but don't want to heat up the kitchen for dinner, you got to take a look at the Summer to Go package at Pastino Wine Cafe. Now, this package features small platters of favorite items like different snacks and salads and panini and bruschetta, and it's perfect, really, for dinner if your crew is right around 4 to 6 people. But this is extra fun. They also have spritz kits, which essentially is a cocktail kit that includes all the ingredients necessary to make your own spritz cocktails at home, along with some fresh grapefruit, a recipe card, even a canvas tote bag to carry it all in. The number to call, 342-0098, to order your Summer to Go from Pastino. So fun and creative.
You know, the cream really does rise to the top, and we have such an outstanding culinary community here. And these, of course, are very hard times. We know that. But Matt, some thoughts on how this community has reacted to the past 4 very difficult months.
Yeah, you know, it really has taken a toll on all of us, whether we're in the culinary community or you know, in small business. So you run a small business, I run a small business, and we really do kind of have to think creatively about ways to really rise above, as you said, to really confront the challenges and think differently and imaginatively about ways to solve the problem. And if there ever was a group of people in this town that have done just that, it's our chefs and our restaurateurs and our winemakers and our brewers and our distillers and our everybody across the culinary and cocktail scene, because what they do is true art, Bill. It's artistry, poetry, and they really are relying on us to help celebrate what it is that they do and be able to share their gifts with our families and our communities and our neighbors as well. So I can't stress enough, yes, we do have some limitations on indoor dining. Some restaurants are closed for indoor dining altogether. It is imperative that we continue to support our locally and independently owned restaurants so they can get through these challenges as we continue to do that as small business owners.
What are you writing about at Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell?
Well, I have a secret to reveal, Bill. Here it goes. Okay. A few weeks ago, I actually grilled and subsequently consumed in its entirety a vegan burger. Now, wait,
ooh,
before my carnivorous colleagues start objecting, just read the story. It'll all make sense. And it's in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
I assume it was quite tasty.
Yeah, absolutely. You might have read the story. But yes, shockingly, as someone who is a meathead like I am, I have many good things to say about plant-based burgers.
Matt Russell, we so much appreciate the work you do, not only for this program, but for our community. Kudos to you, sir. Thank you.
Right back at you. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with us, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and the Weekend Watch host here on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for our Friday afternoon. Thank you, John Couch. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to everybody here at Bustos Media. Thanks to Rose Brandt, who makes sure all the podcasts get up in a timely manner. Thanks to Chris Stefan, who has original music for our program. Thanks to our community for supporting our work. Have a safe weekend.